Good morning. This is the hope that we proclaim. As Jesus is risen from the dead, let us stand as we are able to call ourselves to worship the risen Lord. Blessed are those who trust in God.
We come in trust to be grounded in God's love.
Blessed are those who hope in God.
We come in hope, trusting in the one who gives us life.
Blessed are those who delight in God's word.
We come
to hear God speak, hoping for healing and joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, hymn number 345. Let us confess our sins. Now, if what we hear from the world is true, we would have no need to come before God. But in fact, the witness of Scripture and of the faithful is true. God is to be trusted with every secret of our hearts, as well as offered our brokenness. Join me with as we pray to the one who waits to forgive us. We confess what we are afraid to face, blessing God that the seduction of this world gnaw away at our hearts. We have more and more to choose from at markets so that we forget those who have only choice is hunger. Our sense that we are favorites causes us to make fun of those we are convinced are not. We are so consumed by saving enough for the future, we overlook those who have so little today. Forgive us, broken God, for thinking we are the center of your world. Pour your living so that we might send down the roots deep into your heart and so become those people who are blessings to others as we receive the gift of new life from Christ our Lord and Savior. Blessed are you, for God forgives you and restores you to new life. Rejoice in this day and dance for joy. Thanks be to God.
Our faith is true, and
our hope is grounded in the promises of the one we can trust on this day, but in every time. And with sure and certain hope in your heart, I invite you to share Christ's peace with one another. With a nod or a wave, may the peace of Christ Jesus be with you.
And also
with you. Living God, help us to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We're doing the Old Testament reading from Psalm 1, the entire psalm. And as you can see, we're alternating. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water,
which yield fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all they hope to do, they prosper. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
I remember how you told me that life may not be easy, and everything that I need, you've already given me. I remember how you told me I can trust you completely. So why am I doubting when you prove that you'd fight for me? walked me through fire, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I'll walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I'm changed by your mercy, covered by your peace. I'm living out the victory. Doesn't mean I won't feel the heat. You've walked me through fires, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I'll walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I can face anything, 'cause you're here with me. I can do all things, 'cause you strengthen me. I remember how you showed me the price of my redemption. Lord, how could I question when you proved that you'd die for me? You've walked me through fires, pulled me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me.
Welcome home. Jonathan is, his duty assignment has concluded and he is back. So welcome home. Today is a good day for youth around this church. Miss Olivia, would you like to come forward? Yeah. And you want to sing a song for us from your choir at school, is that right?
Yes.
You want to share that with your faith family? Okay. I have a microphone. You know how to use it?
Yes.
Up close to your mouth. Do you need a sound to sing from? What's the note? Hum it for me. That's your note. Ready?
Yes.
Olivia.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us. Steady treated, we get tricked. Steady kisses, we get kicked. It's the hard knock life. Got no folks to speak of, so it's the hard knock row, we ho. Cotton blankets, stead of wool. Empty bellies, stead of full. It's the hard knock life. Don't it feel like the wind is always howling? Don't it seem like there's never any light? Once a day, don't you want to throw the towel in? It's easier than putting up a fight. No one's there when your dream's at and I get creepy. No one cares if you grow or if you shrink. No one dries when your eyes get wet and weepy. From the crime, will you think this place would sink? Oh, Santa Claus, we never see. Santa Claus, what's that? Who's he? No one cares for you a smidge when you're in a funnage. It's the hard knock life. Yes, it is. It's the hard knock life. Yes, it is. It's the hard knock life.
Wow. Thank you. Hang on a minute there. You know, you were singing about a hard knock life and that nobody cares. But you know, Jonathan just sang a song about somebody who was walking through fires with him. Somebody, when you have a hard knock life, you're kind of walking through a fire, aren't you? So who do you think was walking through the fires with him? How about Jesus? Yeah? Yeah? And Jesus walks through you when you have a hard knock life, too. Pretty cool, huh? You can always count on Jesus. Jesus is always there for you. Okay? Thank you so much for sharing your song. Thank you, everyone, for appreciating our newest gift to God. You can go back now. Is she going out today? No, she's staying here. I don't see Terry. Okay. It's communion. Got it. Wow. What a great morning we're having. Feels good to be back, doesn't it? So today's second reading comes to us from Luke. It's actually the first half of a longer story, and we will, I promise, read part two next week. You know, it's nice to know where you're going. And it's good to know where you've come from. A lot has happened here, both here and in Jesus' time since last we were together. We left in chapter 5, we're now in chapter 6. And to recap, let's see, Jesus overcame the desert temptations, right? And since then, he's been getting his ministry organized, setting up shop. He stopped in his hometown to let everyone know about the mission he was beginning. But for some odd reason, he decided to say unflattering words to his hometown friends. He accused them of narrow-mindedness when it comes to prophets born in their midst. Now that pushed them to their limits, so they turned around and tried to push him over a cliff. But he rambled on, out into the countryside where he healed lepers and men with withered hands. He taught folks he met about fasting and how to live on the Sabbath. And he's been forgiving sins, which particularly annoyed the Pharisees, who believed his actions insulted God. After all, only the heavenly creator could forgive, and who does Jesus think he is anyway? But he's also been inviting some of the people he meets along his way to accompany him and share in his life as his students. Fishermen like Simon Peter, and a tax collector named Levi. Now, just before today's reading, Jesus and his followers were up on top of a mountain, and he was having a very long, private, deep talk with God. And Luke tells us that after that conversation, Jesus chose 12 of his disciples to become his apostles, his closest circle. They were Simon Peter, and his brother Andrew, James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas son of James, and yes, Judas Iscariot, who in the end will betray his master to death. And this then is where our story picks up today. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Can you imagine that? The teacher who had begun drawing crowds after his unceremonious exit from Nazareth. All these people are hoping to be healed. And he's returning from a mountaintop experience with God to stand on level ground with these diseased people and even people with demons, all of whom were seeking a cure. Now, in those days, anyone who was privileged enough to talk with God was recognized as someone special, a celebrity, almost royal, especially if that person had already begun going around the region curing people. And now this healer, who has actually spoken with God, deigned to stand on level ground with them. Not high up on the mountain above them as if he was all high and mighty. With them. As I think of this story, quarterback Joe Burrow came to mind. Most star athletes try to keep a real distance from their fans. And yes, Burrow does wear those radically cool sunshades. But distancing can be necessary, as movie stars know. There's always some fan who is really a stalker that you have to watch out for. So these celebrities are surrounded by bodyguards. And the fans know that they are lucky to see their stars from afar. But that circle of men in black suits says that these people are not in the same league as the celebrity, not even close. Yes, in these turbulent times, taking safety precautions is wise, and I do believe Corey knows that from her work, following up and making sure people stay safe. But such distancing makes me, at least, feel kind of scummy. So imagine how people feel when there aren't any bodyguards. Think about the self-worth that they feel being up close and personal with their heroes. How good that must feel. Yeah, a bit of the gridiron magic disappears. But wouldn't it be luscious to feel as though you were on the same playing field with your idol? To be able to talk with him or her directly? To be level with one another? Suddenly you would feel like a valued acquaintance, or maybe even a friend on a first-name basis. Definitely not invisible, which is what you'd be if you were sitting in those nosebleed seats high atop Paul Brown Stadium. Now, truth be told, I don't know much about the Cincinnati quarterback, but I do like the way he's supporting Southern Ohio's people. He's a star, but his actions make me feel like he cares about others, like he's the kind of guy that ordinary folks can approach and talk with eye to eye. And Jesus, well, he may not have been wearing designer cleats, but he was someone who cared deeply about everyone he met. And that's powerful. Luke also tells us that power was coming out of Jesus, healing all who touched him. Don't you wonder what that power looked like? Was it like the jagged sparks that flew off Dorothy's ruby slippers in the Wizard of Oz? Was it maybe more like a New Age aura, a hazy glow of color surrounding his entire body? Or maybe it was just more like a sense, an invisible sense of a warm hug surrounding you into healing. Warm hug, hazy glow, or shocking sparks. If I were ill and knew Jesus had the ability to cure me, I'd want to be on the level with him. I'd want to see eye to eye with him like his disciples would have been. At least I think I would. While this reading thus far sounds pretty comforting, there is still more to today's story. Listen as we continue picking up at verse 20. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, you got to remember, Jesus was on a level plane with his followers, and his voice would have easily carried to anyone who was anywhere close, probably most of the gathering. So pretty much everyone heard what he had just said. And yet, I don't know if you caught it, he lifted his eyes to the disciples. Those words were meant for the disciples to hear. Jesus was teaching them about what lay ahead. And the lesson he was sharing with them, it was actually pretty uncomfortable. All those woes and troubles. For that matter, how can anyone feel happy, let alone blessed, when dealing with painful situations? Who ever called this story Luke's version of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount? Really makes you wonder what they were thinking. Matthew's words are so much more comforting, more uplifting. Listen, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Luke's words of blessing and woe feel as if Jesus is kind of speaking to people in trouble, people like Christian families in Iraq who cannot be open about their faith in our Lord. Luke said, "Blessed are you when people hate you and defame you on account of the Son of Man." I don't know if you know, but we have a pastor up at Millersburg, Rami Amadoxi, who is from Iraq. He had to hide the cross on the chain that he wears around his neck for fear of being hurt until he emigrated here. Amid such danger, how can Rami and others like him rejoice in that day, for surely their reward is great in heaven? Just too many non-Christians itching for a fight. Or perhaps Jesus' words are for moms and dads whose babies are cold and hungry, so they find their way to Coburn's food pantry or to Eastside's clothing closet. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you shall be filled. Perhaps Jesus is also speaking to the ones who weep, knowing their sister in faith is dying from cancer. Blessed are you who weep. But do any of us know anyone who would actually welcome such hardships in order to be blessed by God? It's troubling to think that the only way to be blessed is to be downtrodden. I don't want to go there or see anyone I care about feel such pain. No. And those woes surely feel as though they're warning someone. Don't you think? I mean, maybe Luke is hoping that the most honorable Theophilus, the man to whom he is writing this gospel, will read between the lines here. He was pretty wealthy, after all. And chapter 1, verse 4 specifically states that I want you to have confidence in the soundness of the instruction you have received. Just a thought. The concept of woe is often understood as a warning, not a final judgment. So the question is Jesus saying this to forewarn those who live relatively well off in the world and haven't faced the same troubles as the poorest of poor who are being blessed? Are we being left out of his blessings? Is he suggesting that we're kind of like football stars who jog onto the field behind bodyguards, away from the little people? Are we included in his blessings? Have we fallen into that kind of disconnected lifestyle that Jesus is teaching against? Jesus' words carry a warning for us all. And yet he came down from high on top of a mountain to level ground and look straight into the eyes of his disciples when he spoke. Jesus wanted them to understand the possibilities for their future. He wanted them to know that whether they lose everything or tears run down their faces or their name is smeared around town because they believe in him, that he was not going to stay up on top of that mountain way above them. He wanted them to know that no matter what, in the most joyful moments and the most tragic of times, Jesus, the Son of Man, had come down to be present with them, sharing life with them, right there on that level playing field. And there was hope for their lives. For the power that surged from him could heal all things, and heavenly rewards awaited all who have faith in him. Now, unlike the earliest Christians or today's faithful in places like North Korea and Iraq, none of us who follow Christ here need fear famine or being persecuted for our faith. But like the earliest Christians, all of us have and will again have times of hardship and pain. Just as we have and will again have times of laughter and feasting. Feasting like today at the Lord's table. And like Jesus' disciples throughout all times and in all places around the globe, be they movie stars, football players, fans, or just plain old folks, there is hope for us. For Jesus is still here, eye to eye with us, on the level field of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please turn to hymn number 377. This is a new one for all of us. So I'm going to have Kathy play it through one time. We are only going to sing verses 1 and 2.
Let us stand and affirm our faith to one another through the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 14 in your hymn books if you don't know. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Look at this table. Just look at this table.
Most of you received the email saying that today we are going to try a hybrid communion. You have your bread in the cups, I hope. We will celebrate as per usual all the way up to the point where we receive the elements physically. And at that point, I will give you the signal to eat the bread. And then I'm going to bring the elders forward and pass out the trays, and they will bring them to you. You do not need to pass them, okay? Hold on to the cup like you have in the past, and then we'll all sip together, okay? And at the end, you should have a prayer after communion in your bulletins, right? It's a responsive prayer, okay? My friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from north and south and east and west and come to sit at table with their Lord, with all the saints from all times and all places. I bid you to come. I bid you to come in peace, to celebrate with joy. For this is the Lord's table. May the Lord be with you. People of God, lift up your hearts to God. Beloved of God, give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. O God of every wonder, you opened your heart and creation flowed forth, transforming chaos into a garden of delights. Trees stretching to touch the sky, rivers tickling the floors of valleys, stars twinkling your message of joy to those staring into space. Your Spirit generously offered all these gifts to those shaped in your image, inviting us to picnic by the waters of life. But we chose to sink our roots in the sandy clay of sin and death, taking our places at the scoffer's table. You blessed the prophets with your words, sending them to proclaim your healing words to all who would come and listen. But when our hearts refused to budge, you sent Jesus, your hope, your life, to become one of us. Preparing to come to your table, we join our voices with all who delight in you in every time and place, saying, "Holy, holy, holy are you, God who blesses. All creation trusts in your goodness. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who has been raised from the dead. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, God of living waters, and you bless us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Gardener of your grace, he came, so we would not be like lonely desert shrubs with no relief. Word of your heart, he spoke. blessing us as your beloved children. Bearer of your life, he went into the unpitying arms of death so we would not be imprisoned by sin forever. As we remember the blessings he has brought to us, as we recall the curses he endured for us, we speak of that mystery we call faith, saying, Christ died, trusting himself to your love. Christ is risen, so we can trust in resurrection faith. Christ is with us, trusting us to proclaim the good news. Here at this table of life, your spirit flows into the gifts of bread and cup. Your grace, your joy, your peace seeping and trickling into all gathered, so we become trees planted by your waters, sharing your kingdom with the poor, feeding all who hunger, wiping away the tears of all who grieve, and lifting up all despised by the world. And when our journeys have ended in you, gathered with our sisters and brothers around the feast prepared for all time to come, we will join in singing our praise to you, O God. You are God in community, holy in one. Now, as we pray to God, when you, God's children, hear the words, God of the poor, I invite you to respond with, give us merciful hearts. Let us continue to pray. Creating God, caring God, merciful God, we pray this day for the poor in spirit, for those who suffer from depression, for those who have lost loved ones recently, for those whose cries for justice have been ignored, especially for Christians in oppressive lands. We pray for those whose skin color or physical condition brings them hatred and ridicule. We pray for those who are watching loved ones deteriorate in body or in mind. O God of the poor, give us merciful hearts. We pray this day for the poor in pocket, for those who cannot find employment, for those who are caught in cycles of poverty, for those whose cultural punishment does not end with their prison sentence. We pray for those who are burdened by debt, for those who live from paycheck to paycheck. O God of the poor, give us merciful hearts. We pray this day for the poor in body, for those who have chronic health issues or have recently been hospitalized. We include our sisters and brothers in faith from this congregation in these prayers, Diane and Dave and Jim and Julie and Dora and Merle and Sally and Bill. And Bill, who we celebrate returning today, as well as those we name silently in our hearts. O God of the poor, give us merciful hearts. We pray for those who struggle with substance abuse, for those who do not have the mobility they once had, for those who do not have access to affordable health care. We pray for those who have been diagnosed with cancer. O God of the poor, give us merciful hearts. Indeed, Lord, we humbly lift our hearts to you, asking you, fill them with mercy for your people the world over. Strengthen us with this feast of life so that we may offer that mercy throughout our days. O God of the poor, give us merciful hearts. Amen. My brothers and sisters, according to Luke, on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took common bread and he broke it after he blessed it. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body which has been broken for you. Take and eat of it, and whenever you do so, remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you as the new covenant, the covenant of love for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me. Whenever you eat of this bread or drink of this cup, you do so proclaiming the saving life of Jesus, who was dead and was resurrected and will come again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. This is Christ's body, which has been broken for you. I invite you to take and eat of it, all of you. This is the cup of salvation which has been spilt for you. Take and drink. Mm. having been fed and nourished and strengthened for the faith journey ahead, I invite you to share in this prayer. Nourished at this joyful feast with God's grace-filled love, we are sent out to share abundance with those who have so little. Blessed with Jesus' hope, we go forth to fill the emptiness of those longing for justice. Blessed with the Spirit's delight, we dance into the world to take the hands of our sisters and brother and gather at the edge of living waters for a picnic. Amen.
Please join me in singing In the Garden.
You know, Jesus came down from the mountain to the level plain where he lifted his eyes to teach his disciples, as well as any who would hear. You have heard the word today, the word of God. I bid you to go out and teach that word in all you say and all you do so that others feel blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Go knowing that the love of God the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us together to God's heart goes with you now and always. Amen.